Lovely. Okay.
Hello, it's a good morning here.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, and happy birthday, Kate. You look really beautiful and lovely and light. So I just wanted to share I guess an experience and also a question. But first, usually when I go to bed at night, I lay down and I kind of do, I don't know if it's an assessment. It's like, okay, what's happening now? Like, what's running through my mind? And I might do some tuning in or just being with whatever is present.
Easier to do than say.
With that,
Easier to do than say,
yeah. And so one
yeah.
night I lay down and I realized that there was nothing. There was nothing. And I was like, whoa, there's a lot happening in my life right now where I normally would have anxiety or frustration or whatever, and those things are still present. I mean, those things in my life were still present, but I wasn't feeling any of it. And I realized that it's almost as if I had to realize that I needed to give myself permission to let that be. That I had a moment where I didn't have all these thoughts about anxiety or worry or trying to figure out. It was blank. I won't say it was blueless, but it was blank. It's just blank. So I thought it made me realize that there's a part of me that needs to give permission for that to be okay and to allow that to become the new normal for me.
But there is a belief in most of us, isn't there? I came up against it that it's not okay for me to feel blissful and peaceful while people are still suffering, or while people in my life are still going through something. And it kind of really came up at some point as I started to remain in peace more and more, and that deepened into, love. And it kind of came up very much like, well, I'm not being responsible if I'm not suffering a two or something like that. And I had to look at that, well, and sort of really turn that around, that being present, being peaceful, being not having these internal noise all the time is actually the best thing I can do to help these other beings.
Well, I also noticed a tendency. I didn't follow it, but I noticed there's a tendency to try to find something.
Which is ego. It's like quick, I'm dissolving. Find something quick to worry about.
So anyway, it was an interesting experience. The other thing is, I've been doing the contemplations, and then I notice that sometimes it's not a bit of a challenge to identify what the actual need is when I'm going through the contemplation. And one of the things that I'm having a challenge in identifying what the real need is I have a colleague that I work very closely with, and she is much more extroverted than I am. She's much more talkative than I am, much more outwardly passionate than I am. And I always have challenges with that type of personality type, because it feels like I can't get a word in. I can't it's like too much, and it creates, in my opinion, creates a lot of chaos, in the environment, in the space. And I was trying to really think, because it's her, but I've had this experience before in other situations. So I was like, what is the need in me? What is it that I what is it in me? If not her, but what is it in me that I feel like I need, where I just want to run away or escape, but I can't. I have to be present because we work so closely together.
So
I'm not sure what the need is. I'm having trouble.
You can usually get to it through the sense of want that comes up. And you said, I feel the urge to run away or something, or to get away, you know, and that is usually whatever the desire arises in that moment, whatever the situation is that triggers this thing, usually whatever the desire is given as a clue to that need, that sense of need. So for me, sometimes it'd be this real wanting to just go home and shut the door and not go, you know, just be by myself, and where I felt I could, certain situations felt overwhelming, you know, certain people felt overwhelming. And there was this idea that I just want to be by myself was what kept coming up, you know, something like that. So have a look at the want. I want to get away. Well, why do you want to get away? I'm not saying you do, but there's some energy. I want to leave this situation. Well, why is that? And if we look at why, what do you think is going to happen when you leave that can't happen now while you're there in that situation? That'll give you a clue as to what the need is.
Say that one more time. What is it?
The sense I want to get away. I need to get some space from this person, some distance or whatever. Okay, well, let's go with that then. What is ego saying is going to happen when you got away, when you go away, when you remove yourself from this person? And is it true that you can't have that now? So when I get away, I'll feel better, I'll feel calmer, I'll feel more peaceful, I'll maybe some combination of those.
Part of it is needing to process, because I usually, as things happen in my world or in my space, in my environment, I'm pretty methodical, so I process it.
Yeah.
And when it's too much, it feels overwhelming. Yeah. So it's just like space. And I noticed that a couple of my contemplations were exactly what you said for various things. It's, you know, I want more time, more space, or I want to escape. Yeah. You know, it's all these things relating to like just wanting to get away from it all.
And I think it's what's happening is your contemplation, your practice is deepening to a point where you're now being challenged to, can you do the same work even when that woman or that person is there,
right,
doing what she's doing, you know, right. Because ego would love to kind of segment it. Well, I can do the contemplation when I'm at home on my own, but I really need to get away from this being to be able to process, or something subtle, yeah. Like, but playing in a big way. She said, you've had this situation before. Mm-hmm. I would really, perhaps it's getting closer to the need. I need to be on my own to do this. I can't do it while I'm around this particular person.
Yeah.
Because if we look at...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think that might be close to it. It's that there's a need to think that I need to do it on my own.
Yeah, yeah. And that's actually what I was going to say. I had to look at this. I had to look at what is the feeling of overwhelmment? Okay, there might be lots coming in through my senses right now, lots of stimuli coming in. And... there was a real sense that I need that sensory stimulation to stop before I can process, you know, that I can only cope with one thing at a time. Or
yeah.
So I really challenged that. I really looked at, do I actually have to do anything? Do I have to do anything with what's coming in through the senses? Because it was the idea that I have to listen. I have to really be there present to what's going on, and I can't do the work at the same time. So I used to get really, there'd be this real restless energy that come up that I'm missing an opportunity here to work with this because I'm getting pulled back into the world or something like that. And when I really investigated it, my ears would just be hearing, my eyes would just be seeing, and even my mouth would just be responding to someone. But inside I could be sort of looking at the idea, is this really true, that, you know, or looking at something. And it really comes back to this idea that I'm doing, doesn't it? You know, what's coming in through the senses is just coming in. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're not doing anything with the words I'm saying. You're just, your ears are listening, aren't they? You know, and just really challenge that idea. I need to be on my own, because it's probably some sense that it's too much for me to handle all at once or something, because from the idea that you're handling it, you're the one doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
It's very, very common, but it's a sign of success, actually, because it's deepening. That now, you know, you as the noumenon, you don't just want to be able to do this when you're on your own. You want to be able to do it wherever you are.
Right.
I even used to challenge myself in the end, you know, when I'm sat in an airport and there's hundreds of people and speakers going off and, you know, all that going on. Can I do it there? You know, I didn't start there. I just challenged myself gently.
Right. Yeah, and I'm really trying to resist the urge to find fault in her, like thinking that she has to do it differently, or that she has to do things or think of things or approach things the way I approach it. You know, so there's some ego stuff happening there for me a little bit as well.
It's good to do that, but it's also important to acknowledge that you might always prefer quietness. You know, you might always prefer other more introverted people, but it, you know, again, just not that we need it to be that way, you know, so we can be comfortable wherever we are. I still have a preference now to have this type of conversation and sat in the middle of a noisy restaurant or something, but mm-hmm. I'm just as peaceful wherever I am. There's a preference mm-hmm. still on a surface level, so it's important to acknowledge you are as you are, and that's just how you are and who you are, and there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Right.
No, but right. Then we don't have to feel the overwhelm of I need to get away or whichever way it's playing then.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very welcome. Videa?
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Yeah, it's the sharing as well, and you answered it then anyway. When I had... the birthday the other day was something similar with my kids. You know, a sister niggles at the older brother, and the other one has a little niggle back. But it just didn't bother me. I was there was that subtle, like you said, a preference or a little wish that, you know,
it'd be nice if they didn't do this on my birthday.
Well, any time. they get together, there's got to be some sort of niggle, but
and that's okay, isn't it? That's what you want,
but mostly I didn't say anything. I didn't really, you know, it just really went over my head, a lot of it. Then I found myself, because I recognize, you know, it's again, the one side of it is we've all got beliefs, and they're playing out a little bit of jealousy or a little bit of not good enough. So I was aware of what was playing. I was interested, actually, what sort of beliefs were playing out. So in myself, I found just questioning, you know, is it really true there is jealousy, or is it really true, you know, if I'm not good enough? Because, again, I was looking at if this is playing out in my experience, are they reflecting parts of myself that the myself wants revealed, you know? Mm-hmm. So I did look at it that way as well. So that's why maybe that's why the question come out, is the recognition of parts of myself that could be still hidden there.
Yeah. And it's that reflection then, at first it's very immediate, sort of being as you spend time with her, you know, on a regular basis. But, you know, even if you're at the supermarket and you see something, you know, some person just passing by feeling a certain way, you know, that can be okay. Then, you know, if they're being unkind or something like that to somebody else, and you're never going to see them again, but it's in your experience right now, it could be okay, where can I be kinder to myself? You know, where can I judge myself less? So you kind of notice it more and more that life's just these tiny little nudges. You know, it's just a little, you could always be a little bit more loving to yourself, you know, and it's just kind of nudging that way, isn't it? And less is it comes with suffering inside here, but more just okay, there might be more to see, not in a more work to do, but I might have even more love I can express for myself and others, you know, from a place of already fine, already complete, but just another little nudge, there might be a bit more that you can do.
Yeah, because definitely there was the really happy just to allow whatever was happening.
Yeah.
And take that opportunity to be interested in it. Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Lovely. Okay, Ian and Maggie.
Hi, I just wanted to share a couple of things. apologies to those who've heard them before, but first of all, particularly for Marcy, when you were talking her through the pain example, it just brought back a conversation we had 4 years ago when I was in chronic pain with my back. I've got 3 bulging discs and they were really, really painful. And as you know, Helen, I couldn't sit, I couldn't stand, I couldn't lie, I couldn't do anything for any length of time.
I remember you actually were laying on this sofa, laying flat on this sofa, doing the questioning with me, I remember.
Yeah, and there was a chance that I wouldn't be able to get to my son's wedding, and which was obviously very upsetting for me. It was the first of our kids to get married, and I remember you asking me the question when you asked Marcy. It really brought it back. You said, you know, can you look at what if, I can't remember how you worded it, what if this is how it is? It's not going to change. It's going to be like this. You have to live with this pain.
What if the body never gets any better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember asking myself that question and having huge resistance to it because I was in so much pain, and is this how my life could be forever? And the limiting way it was at the time. And then I asked it a lot, and you helped me recognize that I'm living like that now. And I was resisting living like that now in that moment. And eventually it led me to realize that I just accepted it. It was hard work. I felt it at the time. It was hard to do. But my share really is to say that I don't have that pain anymore. It was seeing it for what it was. For me, my situation, I'm not saying this is the same for Marcy, there was resistance to some stuff that was causing the pain. And in looking at it, the pain went. I did have some osteopathy done, and he was amazing. But it was looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. And it did take a while, but
You looked at it, as I remember, and you came to an acceptance of, I might not get to the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens if everybody gets on the plane and I'm, because it was in another country, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What happens if I'm the only one back in England? And you really looked at that, and, you know, it'd be useful to share this. I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
You came to an acceptance of, if that's what happens, I can still feel peace even then. There might be other emotions.
Yeah.
As well, but there can be peace.
Yeah, that's actually bringing tears to my eyes remembering that, because I remember actually ringing my son and saying to him, gosh, I can't believe this.
That was one of the steps we took, wasn't it? Yeah. To actually accept this might not actually get any better.
Yeah, and I rang him and said I might not be able to go to the wedding. It was only about 2 weeks off, and I remember how upsetting that was, and he was really shocked, because I think I'd hidden it from the kids as much as I could. It was only our daughter living here who realised how bad it was. And it just lifted, and
2 weeks later, you were on that plane.
Yeah, yeah. Walking up and down the aisle when they let us have our belts off. It was amazing. And to be honest, I remember thinking I'd be very limited at the wedding. And I danced the night away. I remember thinking, they're not going to think I've been conning them, because I just danced the night away. It was amazing. Just quickly, because I realise there's somebody else waiting. The other thing I wanted to, and I will be quick, to share was listening to people talking about their wanting good for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of people know this story, but we've had a situation with one of our kids that was dire. It was horrendous. And there was a time when, this is bringing up emotion as well, where we thought we might lose one of them. And I had to really, again, ask the question about the worst case scenario. And that was so scary. But it was very likely that was going to happen in that moment.
Yeah.
And we got through all of that as well. And it's changed around so hugely, hasn't it? Her life, I'm very aware that some of the people are around in the house, but her life changed so much and is just on the up and up.
So the last thing that we want to do is to look at what if it doesn't get any better right now. But if we can find the courage to do that, you know, okay, to really look at that, then right where we don't want to go is right where we need to look inside ourselves, isn't it, in those moments. And tremendous healing can come because of that. And, you know, I know we've done, like you said, you had you went to the osteopath for years. We did yoga together, all of that. And that also helped, you know. But the main thing was to look at what if I'm stuck having to lie down, can't even sit for the rest of my life. And it's really helpful to share that, I think, because to a lot of people, it's if I'm looking at it from acceptance, not from trying to make it better, then it's got the best possible chance of healing. You know, yeah. If this is how it's going to be, this is how it's going to be, and at some point I will come to accept that.
It's happened in so many areas of my life. I can do it to small things as well, and just look at it. And to be honest, everyone's questions today have really helped me. I've had a very strange week, and it's everyone's questions today have been amazing, so thanks to everyone.
The beauty of the group, isn't it, when it comes together like this? And yeah, well, thank you for sharing.
Thanks to you, Helen, as well.
You're very welcome. Sophie, last but not least.
Hello.
Hiya, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah, it's been a really precious time. So thank you. And like encouraging of these transformations that take place when you really do live from that real place, and life begins, changes on the outside, and I'm really sensing a deepening going on from the last two sessions. And what I want to share, it's quite technical in some ways, is that what I'm experiencing is there's this recognition of noticing that's really there, and then it's like on the surface, there's like two dimensions going on. Like on the surface, there's this increased tightening, and then on the other level is this like noticing in contrast the silence or the peace.
Yeah.
And without trying to force one, you know, the surface one to change, and it's really just trying to relax into that, because there's a knowing that life is always movement. Yeah. On the surface, there's always movement. So there's always going to be a contraction around something, or, you know, it's like there's this, it's like letting go of that need to get anywhere, that there's going to be this kind of perfect peace where you're just in this stillness where there's no movement. So somehow, like, the two become one, but the moment doesn't feel like that. It feels like there's like a separation of dimensions, and I'm just witnessing both.
And so if you don't choose either one, as you said, you automatically kind of end up accidentally being the noumenon consciously, because it's not choosing, is it? It's not trying to push against ego. It's not trying to get rid of anything at all. It's not trying to arrive anywhere at all, you know. So it's just like, okay, there seems to be two versions of me in this moment. One's just absolutely fine already, always has been. The others are going through quite a bit of change and turbulence at the moment, letting go of all these deeper patterns. And you can just, you know, you don't have to take a you don't have to pick one, you know, only ego, because ego works in opposites and duality. It'll say, which one? I want this one and this one. This is me and this isn't me. But the self is going yes to all of it, you know, and it doesn't try to, just by not identifying with either of them, you end up being the real self consciously. You are anyway, but consciously. And then that peace just deepens, that no matter what's going on the surface and the waves, the contractions might be happening still for a while you work these energies through, but you're just not disturbed. It's happening inside you. There's noise happening inside the great silence. And it's all just coming out of the silence more and more as you experience. And it's less and less is the idea that it's disturbing you. Can you get a sense of it?
Yeah, that is helpful. That is really helpful. It's a bit like being shown the next step
so habituated to operate from the ego that even when we see the noumenon in our tuning in, we try to pick it. That's the one I want, and I want to not be the old one. But it's only ego that would try to pick, because the self knows they're both the same one. They're just, ego is when I think I'm limited, separate being. And when I realize I'm not, that's the silence. Both of those versions are there for a while these energies are worked through, you know, the results of all our contractions, you know, from separation previously. And if we just don't try to pick, then we're literally being the self in that moment. The self is not, the ocean is not bothered by the waves, is it? It's not saying that, you know, the surface of myself should be flat. It's just not doing that. You know, it doesn't see waves even, it sees the ocean. It's all water. And there's just a deepening then, you know, just, okay, there seems to be two versions of myself and there's a sense I need to pick one and one's better than the other. But if I do that, then I'm back into ego. Again, not that ego's wrong. It's just we just want to experience a different way. We're not making it wrong. But, you know, there might seem to be these two versions, but if I just don't choose which one, then I'll experience the deepening of the silence itself, in which mind's talking, energies are lifting, all that's just going on spontaneously. And you're not doing any of it. It's just happening inside you more and more.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's like, you know, when you did that glass experiment, that high-tech visual.
Oh, so much expense and time preparation. I hope you all appreciated it. Yeah.
It's really stayed with me. It's
a simple thing, isn't it, that the work really, for me.
It's just become a real, like, it's just like a child being shown something really simple. Like, it's like, oh yeah. But then there isn't this idea that the grass has to break. You know, you said it was made of ice. It could be made of ice and the ice melts.
Yeah.
Is that the sort of thing? Or is
it's,
it
it's
just
all water, whether it's ice or whether it's water, it's all water, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
But if glass is made of ice,
yeah.
What does it matter if it seems solid for a while as a body? It's still the water, it's still the noumenon, it's still the self. It's holding itself in a particular shape of a human being for a while, and then it'll dissipate when it's done with that shape, and it'll experience a new shape. And, you know, just for a while it's appearing like this, and we can enjoy it while it's here, but know what it really is. You know, it's and that I'm not really just in here, although it seems like that. If I pay attention to thoughts and feelings and experiences only, it'll really seem like I'm only in one place. If I pay attention to the silence, the stillness, the peace, the awareness, it'll seem more and more like I'm everywhere, that I don't have a location. And you can have both of those going on, can't you?
Yeah.
Right now I know I'm everywhere, and I also seem to be somewhere having this conversation, and it's absolutely fine.
Absolutely. So you're just not picking either one or the other, like you were just saying.
You can't, as the self, right? The self cannot say that's better, that's the right one, and that's the wrong one. You know, to view the highest seeing is, and because we all do it for a while, we go, right, the former self is better than the egoic sense of self. But the self would never say that. It doesn't even see a difference. It's like there's just silence, and sometimes the silence appears as a human being who thinks it's separate. So we can't really say it's better or worse, can we? You know, and in the end, who am I to say that it's better that I've realized what I really am than the person next door in the next house that still really thinks they're a separate being? I can't say that's better, can I? It's true for them that they're a separate being. It's true for me that I'm not. And noumenon showing up both ways, and it's absolutely fine. Only the ego would say, you should realize yourself too, because it's better like this. You know, it feels better, but it's the same noumenon, isn't it? Same self. In one body, it's feeling scared and confused and trying to control. In the other body, it's feeling peaceful, loving, you know, all the rest of it. But the same basic noumenon, you know, not changed by that. Whether it realizes the self itself or not, is it doesn't change fundamentally what it is.
No. And that it's just that feeling thing that is, because as you said, it feels better to be
one. It feels much nicer, yeah, and it's highly recommended. Yeah. But in the end, you can't say it's, you know, you might say it's better in terms of words, you know, why would I even do satsang if it, you know, but the last seeing is even the illusion that I am a separate being is also part of me. You know, the illusion is also the self. There's nothing that is not the self, ever. And if it's still happy being a separate being in somebody, have at it. You know, when it's ready to wake up, it'll wake up. And, you know, we don't really need to do that about even our own egos. If it's there, it's there. And it doesn't disturb me as long as I'm not trying to pick one side or the other. Automatically, I'm just happy then. Is that trying to pick one or the other makes us feel divided into two. They'll seem to be two, but if you don't pick, that seemingness won't bother you. Like, am I somewhere or everywhere? Yes, you know. Clear as mud. But there's a relaxation. For a while the body's here, I'll feel like I'm somewhere also and someone also. But it's once it's seen that's not true, it doesn't bother you then, you know, deeply enough.
So like causality can still is still happening because it will still appear to be happening, but you know that that's just, you're not bothered by it in the same way.
There's one or two little loops still working themselves out, let's just say, you know, every now and again, oh, look at that, yeah. But it's just being watched and it just, there's a seeing, something arises and there's a seeing and it's just happening effortlessly. I'm not doing it, it's just the nature of the manifestation of the body and mind to be ever more clearer, ever more, I don't know what the word is, ever more peaceful, that type of thing. But watch from that place, it doesn't even need that to happen. You know, it's just fine as it is.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Thank you.
I don't know if you answered your question, but hopefully.
Yeah, it's not a mind answer really, is it? I mean, the mind won't understand it in that way, but it's like the deepest acceptance really, without trying to accept. It's because you're not picking, but you're aware that both can exist at once.
It seems to be two, yeah. There isn't really two, but there seems to be. And that's the beauty of being a human being, the self appearing as a human being. You can enjoy your life and the sense of being someone and be someone's daughter and someone's wife or whatever we're doing and have fun with it, but knowing it's all it seems to be, and it's really all the silence appearing as all of this. It takes the trying to get to somewhere out of it, then you're just enjoying the ride for as long as the body's here.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, we'll go to Amy.
Oh yeah.
Hiya, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. I wanted to ask, and thanks everybody for their relationship questions. That's up for me as well. Doreen's was great. I wanted to ask about apparent choices. Because I'm in a relatively new relationship, so there's this kind of moment of choice that comes up. When like my partner's behavior this week has been extremely challenging.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Everything always blows up on lesson two, right? Everything's fine the first week. Oh, it's just silence and awareness. And then I have to go and ruin it by doing lesson two.
Yeah. So it's been, and so, and the otherness was very strong in those moments. It was, yeah, because there's been talk about us moving in together and merging our lives more and things like that. And yeah, some of the behavior was just like, oh my God, do I want to do this? So it's kind of, the question comes back of like discernment of, you know, discernment, but also of practice in that moment. Because when I found myself in a mind loop about it, I was just like, oh, is this even my problem? Right, that's where I went to with it. So I wanted to ask you about that, because is it even true that we have a choice, really? Or is that all mind? Or is there space for discernment? And my sense is like there is a little bit of space for it, but it's maybe a happening that comes also in the moment.
There's both, isn't it? It's again, ego wants to know which one is it. You know, it'll ask questions like that. Can I make a decision or not? Do I have free will or not? You know, am I discerning or not? And it's yes and no. There's a version of you that is deciding and choosing, you know, and feels like it's doing and all of that. And then there's the other version of you that isn't and doesn't really care in that way. At least, no, not in a cold way, but and the beautiful thing about the self when it arises as a human being is it has this intellect, this discernment faculty to be able to discern ultimately between real and unreal and everything, but everything along the way there as well, wanted, not wanted, preferred, and you know, preferred to avoid type of thing. So that is a function of the egoic sense of self, and it will still be there even when ego has dissolved into a much more fluid thing, you know. So even if you're fully awakened, you're not going to walk into a room of people fighting and go, okay, this looks like a good place to hang out, you know. Cat sneezing, sorry. Going to be some faculty that remains, is this personality, this individuality, your likes and dislikes. But it's on the surface, it's on the it's a superficial thing, and most of you is fine either way, you know. But you could say that is the way the manifestation moves. So some part of you is going to say, well, I'd like it to be this way, you know. So there is this discernment available, and also the place where no discernment is possible. And they're not they seem paradoxical from the mind, but they're not in a lived experience. Again, like now it seems like I'm talking to you, having this conversation, like there's two of us, and we're explaining something and we're going through something. And there's also just this knowingness that nothing's really happening at all. But, you know, if I go to the supermarket after this and I'll choose which thing I want, I'm not just going to randomly pick things off a shelf and go, well, it's all the same anyway, so I'll just buy anything. It's part of being a human being, isn't it? That intellectual capacity, that discernment. And it's how we shaped the manifestation, the sculpting of it as it unfolds. And we can undo that by recognizing what we don't want, and thereby recognizing what we do want. And, you know, that's this discernment process in a nutshell, isn't it?
I think that's my question with it, because there's... because of the practice that we do with dissolving things and being with our part in things, and then it's kind of like in those moments in a relationship that it feels like there's a little bit of friction or questioning at that time, because it's just like, because there's that capacity to say, okay, well, there's, you know, everything's a reflection of me. So it's just kind of like, yeah, there's this question around like discernment of just like,
you know, is there any point trying to, you know, have this nice relationship or whatever if it's only a reflection of me anyway? Well, yes, because you're here to enjoy that too. The world is the self, it is you, you know. You can do that, And actually, when I'd untangled all these needs and everything from my relationships, there was a much clearer capacity to discern what I actually wanted and an ability to ask for it. You know, actually, I prefer if you didn't do that. You know, that's really quite irritating when you do it or something, but not really needing it to stop, you know. But from you might find you're surprised by your ability to know what you want much clearer without all these all this conflict inside getting in the way of being able to see that clearly. So it might be the discernment process seems to sort of sharpen itself even as you let go of these karmic patterns that we've been carrying around for so long. You might find actually really know what I want now, and that's okay, because you're it's a self appearing as a human being, and you're gonna want to have fun and enjoy this now, you know, without fearing the end of it all. You can actually really enjoy it, can't you, and have fun, and the self loves to play as a relationship. That's one of the ways it'll express love. You know, love will emerge as a relationship, and how that happens, how love grows as a relationship, is through a little bit of conflict every now and again, a little bit of friction. So you know clearer what you want and see clearer and clearer that there isn't any reason that can't manifest.
Yeah, so it's not like in that triggered moment when it's very much like the mind and other, you know, and then it's like yeah, it's more like, oh, I'll just change the song. I'll swap this one out for a better one. But it's,
That might occur. I mean, for me, there was a clarity that finally came when I wasn't seeing through the filters of all these beliefs. That, you know, sometimes, you know what, I really just don't have anything in common with this being at all. And I've been trying so hard to get on with them because I want them to like me or something. And when all that energy's gone inside of needing, it might be a clearer that this is the right one for me, or this really isn't the right one for me. It'd be clearer either way. But if you sort of look at, make sure you're not trying to change them so that you feel better inside or something like that, you know, through the causality of coming from your own fullness, you'll know exactly what the right thing is. It'd be clearer. In fact, sometimes even impossible to ignore. It'll just be very obvious. This is what's going to happen here, or this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you as well, there's just like this question of what is other? And I know you've talked about it in lots of ways, and I think it is because like the causality, like the understanding it has dropped in so much, and I see that changing all the time, and it's like, I don't know, it just needs to be heard from a different place, I think, just like what, because when you see the other person just shifting and shifting and shifting and everything shifting, it's like, do they even exist, and what, you know, that part of the mind just kind of wants to.
So what's the question? Sorry, I'm a bit, what yeah. is other? What really
yeah,
is?
What is other? Yeah.
Well, why are we so convinced that there are other beings? That's a good place to start from. Why are we so convinced that there are other beings out there? Where everybody in the world is convinced that there's more than one being. You know, that's a good place to look to start from. Well, what's the evidence for this that we all take as evidence for the fact that there are other beings?
Other bodies that push and prod us.
Other bodies, right? Yeah, that's a good place to start. But are we sure there are other beings? There are other bodies, admittedly, yeah, lots of them.
Well, I mean, that's the place I get to with it, because it's like, so it's other bodies, the one being, and then, so our mental body that we're projecting onto that beingness. But
let's say you have a new romantic partner, right? An amazing new you know, in that initial stage where everything's wonderful, you know, where you can't see anything wrong with each other. Where does that being exist? There's a body there, admittedly, and your body here, and you're in this wonderful new thing. Where do they actually exist, the other being? What is this other being that we're calling other? You know, where is it? What is it? The other body may have thoughts and emotions and experiences. But is that the only place they exist inside that body? Let's say later on you've separated, you've gone back to your house, they've gone back to theirs, you're thinking about them, remembering what you did that day. Don't they also exist in your thoughts, in the memory at that point? And the other being, don't they also exist in the memory of other beings that have encountered them? Can we say they're only in that body? Because, you know, that same person who's a romantic partner to you, maybe a son or a daughter or a, you know, a sister or a brother or something to someone, and they exist in that way. Can there ever be a being that exists only in one body? Only. It's not, these are questions that I'm, you know, expecting you to be able to answer, but just kind of poking at where the thinking this can go, the investigation can go, to kind of really deepen into like where do you exist? You know, do you exist inside me when I think about you? Do you exist inside that body when you think about yourself, or both, or neither, or all of the above? It gets a little foggy, doesn't it? Like, if I'm thinking about you and remembering conversations we've had or something, then you kind of exist inside me in that moment, don't you? And then if I go to sleep and you're still awake, you exist in that body. And then you're on the phone to someone else while I'm asleep and you're talking about somewhere you went years ago. And you also exist inside that other being that you're talking to on the phone in terms of thoughts and memories, experiences you've had. And even as a separate being, you can't really say it's just that one body. You know, if you follow this line of thinking to any degree, where that other being actually is that we're sure is there gets a little bit vague. You know, do they not also exist in all the other beings I've ever encountered, ever? And then, well, where actually is that other being? The other being is deeply in question where they are. The body is obvious where it is. It's in a certain location. It's frustrating, this subject, for a while, because we have to go in places in our thought that we haven't been before.
Mm.
It's just so accepted that that's where you are, sitting in that chair there, and that's the only place you are.
Mm.
And it's just not so.
Mm. Yeah, I think when you first asked me, I think my mind went to, well, they're saying and doing things, it doesn't seem like it's coming from me, like it seems like it's a surprise to me, like
can you
receiving it.
Can you hear what they say without it coming in through your ears? Can you separate their words from your ears? Are there any words at all from that being if your ears don't hear it? Can you even say there's another body there to look at without your eyes to see it? So it gets a little dodgy, doesn't it? As to say that being is only out there. If the sense perception and what is being perceived cannot happen independent of each other, then where is that other being really?
It's easier when I sit with you. It feels easier to take in the context, and and with other people. I think it's when it comes to this relationship, for some reason, and not all the time, of course, when we're relaxed, but during those moments, it's kind of like...
Those will be the moments where you go back to focusing on phenomena, your thoughts, your emotions, the sense of me experiencing here, only here.
Mm.
And if we focus on the phenomena, the things are only happening in one location, in one body. Thoughts, emotions, and experiences happen in one place only. There isn't a thought that every human being can have at the same time. It only happens in one place, one body.
Mm.
So if we focus on that level of experience, the sense of me here, my thoughts, my emotions, my experiences, then everything else will always feel other than me, separate to me.
Mm.
Because I'm focusing on a location, one location, what's happening only in one place.
Mm.
Even if it's in relationship, as in, if I'm thinking about this other being, but I'm actually focused on phenomenal things that are arising in that moment, thoughts and experiences about that other body. If I focus on the contextual field, the silence, where does that contextual field end? Does it reach as far as that other body standing in front of me that I'm sure I'm in relationship in? And if it does reach as far as that, am I really in a relationship with an other being, actually? Or are there two bodies and the one being playing the relationship with the two bodies?
Mm-hmm.
If we focus on the field, we'll feel more we'll feel less and less divided from anything. Less and less will other seem real.
Mm-hmm.
If we focus on the phenomena, the thoughts, and you know, my thoughts, my emotions, my experiences, will seem very localized, will feel very finite, and will feel that everything else is other.
Mm.
It doesn't make all the phenomena wrong. It's just how the self folds itself into thinking it's a separate being.
Mm.
By only focusing on the things that are happening in one location. Because even if I'm in a relationship with someone else, I'm thinking about how they're affecting me or what I want to do with them, or it's always coming back to me in one location, isn't it?
Mm.
The idea that there's two beings is even happening inside here.
Mm.
My thoughts.
Mm. Yeah.
I hope this is fun, kind of exploring this. I hope it's probably challenging, a little frustrating at the same time, but.
Well, it's my Achilles heel, as you know, the location thing. But it is, especially with this course, it is starting to open up. But I think that's the work, really, isn't it? Just to see if I can.
I focused only on thoughts, emotions, and experiences, I would still feel very limited, separate, and finite.
Mm.
Mm. And as a limited, separate, finite being, I may make great effort to try to feel one with everything.
Mm.
And it's not achievable like that. Mm. Because the very essence that I'm trying to do it from here is emphasizing that I am only here. And therefore, I'm going to feel even more separate to everything. Instead, I can focus on that which is already whole and indivisible. And everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, and just like Doreen was saying, with those little things that come up as well, like I'll just get away and have some more space and things like that. And yeah, it's just kind of trying to bring more of that into during those more contracted moments.
Just to want to is the key. We're not responsible for whether we can actually achieve it during those moments of contraction.
Mm.
That'll happen by itself. You know, if you can't stay aware of the contextual field during this friction going on, it's fine. But the urge to, the want to, is enough. It'll happen then at some point.
Just check out the window and run off.
That's it. I'm off to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
While there's a sense of a someone really believed in that's doing some work, we really may feel that we need to be on our own to do that. But mm. the urge will then be, same as we're talking with Doreen, to okay, right in the middle of this thing going on, can I do it now? Right in the middle of this thing, you know, that's trying something. And it's not going to seem that easy at first, but it's just, it's a thing we can practice like anything. Like, yeah, it didn't seem easy to do it at first on your own, even in your own bedroom with the curtains closed and your phone turned off and all of that, right? It was just, we're going to get this. And now it's like, okay, well, then the self wants to go and play in relationship and see, can I still feel undivided even in relationship now?
Yeah, that's the thing, because my old teacher was very much like, you know, if there's a certain amount of triggering over a certain amount of time, then have the space to get back on your feet again, you know, that kind of thing, because that's where I was at the time, you know, and that's been kind of drilled into my head. Or, you know, when that's going on, you just need to get away and have space. And it's kind of,
and that's great at first, that's great, and it's even recommended, you know, to practice on your own, but eventually that won't be enough. You don't want to, you know, you want to be yourself wherever you are, whoever you're with. That feeling will grow. And that's totally natural. And that's what's happening now, isn't it? I want to do it while I'm in the middle of this now too. That's what's kind of growing, you know, that I want to feel like myself wherever I am. I'm sat on top of a mountain or in the middle of an airport. I want to feel the same.
You know? Yeah.
Good, good.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Lovely. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. So, we'll leave it there for today. Oops, here we go. The next lesson is Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. UK time. And we'll have another session like this next Saturday, same time, Q&A again, not any particular teaching, although the Q&A is just as valuable and sometimes even more so when we actually see it lived, you know, worked through with different issues. So thank you.